So we are picking up on Chaf Ches Amud Beis. We are at the bottom of the, we are the last line of the Amud. We're about to turn on to Chaf Ches Amud Aleph. Tan Rabbanan said, turning to Chaf Ches Amud Aleph, Mevatel Talmud Torah, well, Tasa Meis, that we are Mevatel Torah, we stop learning in order to give kavod to the Meis when we will be Malav the Meis, Lachnas is Kalor, or when a Kalor is getting married, Amar Lava Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Loi, that he would do those things, that even though he was a big Talmud Chacham, but he would stop learning in order to go to a Levaya, or that he would take, or that he would go out to be Mismeach a Kala. And halachically, because nowadays we find that we don't do that. We, you know, Saul Levinson's having a, you know, has a funeral a few times a day. Everyone doesn't drop what they're doing and go to the funeral, so because there are always, there's people that are there. But if there wouldn't be people at the funeral, we would be, it would be an obligation for us to make sure that that's being taken care of. And also for a Kala, I think they say that if a kala, like if you see that's passing by, like if you're there, you should really go in for the chuppah because it's a big mitzvah, it's a big schus to be at the chuppah of a chazan and kala. So Gemara says, when did we say that you're supposed to stop learning in order to do these things? B'she'en shem called sarko, when they don't have enough people there to take care of it. Aval yeshem called sarko, aim of atlam. But if you have enough people taking care of it, then it's not a problem. You're able to do it. How are you? Okay, so we just turned to chav tesam at aleph. So the Gemara says a comma called Sarko. So when you said that you have to have enough people that are either going to be taking care of the funeral, I think it's primarily speaking about a funeral. It's not really speaking about a chnasas kal. But when it's out, what does it mean when it says that enough people take care of the funeral? Amar Shmuel bar in Yai Mishmei Derav Tracer Alfi Garvi means you have 12,000 men that would be at the funeral. That's considered to be enough to be doing. So you're sitting there, you're making a face like 12,000. But if you see some of these levayas in Eretz Yisrael, when one of the Gedolei Ador died, they have hundreds of thousands of people that are attending the funeral. So we do have funerals of that size nowadays. So, okay. So he says, so 12,000 people, Bishisa Alfa Shipuri, and then on top of that, they'd have 6,000 people that would be blowing the shofar when because the procession was that they would do the hespedim, and then they would also blow the shofar. So they would have 6,000 people that were blowing on the shofar. V'amrila, and some say, Tracer Alfa Gavri Minayu Shisa Alfa Shipuri. Some say that it's 12,000 men, and in the 12,000 men are 6,000 people that are blowing the shofar. Ula Amar Kigon, the Chaitzi Gavri Ma'abula Ad Sichra, you have to have people that are lining up from the beginning, wherever the town gate was, until the cemetery. You would have people that were lining up to make sure, again, that it's Kavod Hames, that there would always be people there as the coffin is passing by. Rav Sheshes Amar, Kinesinasa Kach Netilasa, that just like as the Torah was given, that's also the way that it should be when you're talking about when the Talmud Chacham dies, it's like the Torah is being removed. So just like when the Torah was given, when the Torah was given, you had 600,000 people were at Har Sinai. So too, you should have 600,000 people at the Levaya for Talmud Chacham. And Hani Mili Laman Dekari V'Tanis, that's only talking about someone that learned, who was able to learn Mishnayos and who was able to learn Chumash. Aval Laman Demasvid, if someone was teaching it, not just he was just learning, but was actually teaching it, less assured, then there's no limit how many people you could have at the Levaya. But again, you know, realistically, we here in Baltimore are never going to be, in the United States, you're not going to be at a funeral at that size. The only time that you could potentially see one is you know, like Rav Chaim Kanievsky, I think, had, they said over 500,000 people were at his Levaya. But you usually don't see, you know, of that size, but hundreds of thousands you do see. Tanya, Rav Shimon ben Yochai Yomer, Bar e kamei chaviven Yisrael lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, see how dear we are, the Bnei Yisrael are to Hashem, shekom akam shegalu shechina imanu, that everywhere that we were sent out into Galus, the Shechina came with us. Galu Mitzrayim, we left, when we went to Mitzrayim, Shechina imanu, the Shechina was with them. How do we know that? Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, Haniglos niglesi al beis avicha b'yosem in Mitzrayim, that I was not revealed to your father's house when I went down with you to Mitzrayim. Galul Bavel, and then we went to Bavel, Shechina Iman, the Shechina was with them also. How do we know? Shinemar, Lemanchem, Shilachti Bavela, that I sent you to Bavel, and I was there with you. Vav Kishahin, I see it in the Gal, Shechina Iman, and also when we're going to be redeemed, the Shechina is also going to be with us. Shinemar, Veshav Hashem Lokecha Shivuscha, that Hashem will return to you. Veheshiv Lo Namar, El Veshav. It doesn't say that Hashem will, that he will bring back. It says that he will return, meaning he's out with us in Galus, and he's going to go back with us when the Gula Amir Hashem comes. The Bavel Hecha, so where in, well, you said that the Shechina is in Bavel, so where could the Shechina be found? So Amar Abaye, Beve Knishta, the Hutzal, and the Shul of Hutzal, Beve Knishta, the Shav, V'yasi Barna, and then the Shul of, that was knocked down and was rebuilt in Ardai, that they say that they took the stones from this, there was a destruction that took place in Yerushalayim. They took the stones, they moved it to Narda, and then they rebuilt the shul. So the Shechina is there also. V'lo teima hacha b'hacha, and don't say that the Shechina is both here and the other shul also. Ela zimnin hacha v'zimnin hacha. Sometimes the Shechina is in one shul, sometimes in the other. Am Rabbi Tasili. The Chimer Chikna Parsa Ilani Matzud Hasim. That I have this great schos that whenever I be near one of these two shuls where they say the Shechina can be found, whenever I'm near them, I always make an effort to make sure that I'm going in them so that I can be in the place where the Shechina is. Which again, understand Hashem is everywhere. So, but it seems like they're the Shechina found a resting place in these particular shuls. Avod Shmuel v'Levi have Yasu b'Kanishta d'Shav v'Yasu b'Narda. So Shmuel's father and Levi were sitting together in the shul. That this one that was that they had moved the stones from Yerushalayim and they had rebuilt it in Narda. As Yeshchina, the Shechina came there. Shamu called Riksha, Kamu v'Nafku. So they heard that there was this noise that was going on that was representative of the Shechina. So they heard it and they got up. Similarly, Rav Sheshes have Yasu b'Kanishta d'Shav. The shav of Yosef ben Arda. He was sitting in the shul, the same shul. Us Yeshchina of Lo Nafak. And the Shechina came, he did not get up. So Amar Lefanov, so Malachi Asharis who come Avaylu. So the Malachi Asharis came and they started like saying to him, what are you doing? Get out of here. They started threatening him. It's not appropriate for you to be here with the Shechina. So Amar Lefanov, so Rav Sheshes says to Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, all of Vishena, all of me, Nidchem b'fnei me. If you have someone that has unfortunate circumstances and someone who's not, who is it that you're going to take pity on? Who's the one that should be there more? So he's Amar Lahu Shavki. He said to the Malachim, leave me alone, because Rav Sheshes was blind. So he's saying, I'm blind. So what are you, the Malachi Shars, to tell me to leave the shul? I'm not able to see, so I already have something against me, something wrong. So he says, so let me stay in the shul, and the Shechina agreed with him. Okay, the pasuk says ve'ehi lahem l'mitosh ma'at, that he says that Hashem told Yechezkel that I'm going to be like it's going to be a mikdash ma'at. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. Eilu batim kesios batim midrashos shebavavel. These are talking about the shuls, the batim kesios and the batim midrashos that are in Bavel. Rabbi Lazar Amar zebe shabenu shebavavel. This is referring to the Rav's shul that was in Bavel. Darish Rava learned my dechsev Hashem ma'on ata yitzalonu. That Hashem, you're like a shield for us. Eilu batim kesios batim midrashos. These are the shuls and the batim midrashim that people would learn. That's what it's talking about. That it protects us when we're using them. Amar Abaye, Mereish have a karzina bevesa umatzlin bevekenishta. It used to be that I would learn at home. And then I would come to the base of Knesset, and I would daven there. Kivan the Shamas Lahada Amar Rava. Then I heard what Lahada Kamar David. Then when I heard what David HaMelech said, where he says Hashem Ahavti Ma'om Beisecha, that I love the protection of your house. So Havia Garcina Bebek Nishra. So then I began to learn in the shul also, because I see that there's protection that's done there. So I both, and which is what we do now. We also you have a base of Knesset that many places now have a base of Knesset that doubles as a base of Medrash that it's used for both things. Tanya, Reb Lezer, HaKafar Omer, Asidim Batim Knesios, Batim Midrash, Shibavavavol, Shikavu, Beretz Yisrael, which Rabbi Silber just mentioned this tonight, because we were sitting by the Sefer Chasidus, and we were out in the courtyard, and Rabbi Silber, in his very special way, is talking about how beautiful it is that we have the walls of the Jerusalem stone is behind him. And he said that, when you try to justify, how do you justify spending all this money that we spend on shuls? And he said, he just said this Gemara right here, because it's in the future. They say that we're rebuilding Eretz Yisrael, really, when we build a shul, because eventually these shuls are going to be moved when Mashiach comes, that they're all going to be moved to Eretz Yisrael. Shenemar, Ki Katavra Baharim Uki Carmel Bayam Yavo. It says, like Har Carmel and Har Tavar, that they came into the sea when they came into the sea, and it said that they were by Har Sinai. Balodram Kavachomerhu. Umata Rav Carmel Shlobo Alafisha Lomotara. They only came briefly to learn Torah. Nikvaim Be'aretz Yisrael, and it doesn't mean that they were there. It means that the malachim that oversee, like everything has a malach that oversees it. So the malachim that they came and they were able to they were there for the they were there by Har Sinai, and they're going to be going back to Eretz Yisrael when the time's right. So Bati Knesios, so Bati Midrasho, Shekarim, Marbitzim, Behem Torah, Alachas Kama Kama. So then you have the Bati Knesios and Bati Midrashos, which people are learning in them constantly. They're davening them. They're learning in them. So for sure, those shuls are going to end up being transplanted once Mashiach comes, and they're going to be uprooted, however you understand that, and they're going to move to Eretz Yisrael. Darsh bar kapra. My dechsev lama teratzion harim gav nunim. What does it mean that why are you dancing the very majestic mountains? So Yatsa Basko of Amalahem, so Basko came out and said to the mountains, Lama Tirtsun Din on Im Sinai. Why do you have any complaints against Har Sinai? Because the famous Midrash that says that all the mountains came and they said that they wanted the Torah to be given on them, and each one saying, I'm the biggest, I'm the tallest, I'm the most beautiful, and Har Sinai didn't say anything. It was the most humble, and Hashem said, I'm going to give the Torah on Har Sinai. So Hashem says to these mountains, what are you trying to start up with Har Sinai? Are you making any problems? Kochem Bale Mumim Atem Etzel Sinai. You all have blemishes compared to Har Sinai because they were very conceited. All of these mountains were very conceited. They were very boastful. And Har Sinai was very humble. Ksiv Hacha Gavnunim. It says over here, by the mountains, it's talking about Gavnunim. Ksiv Hasam, when it's talking about the Mum that a Kohen has where he's not able to do the Avod, it says, Ogibain, Odak. So Gibain is the same root word as Gavnunim. So just like, so you see there, Amaravashi, Shmamina, Haiman, the Yahir, Balmumhu, that someone who is conceited, if someone is a Balgaiva, so that's considered to be a blemish in him, because again, the mountains grew very conceited, and therefore Hashem said that they had blemishes. Okay, the next part of the Mishnah said, Enos and Kapandria, that you're not able to make a shortcut when you enter a shul, you're not able to make a shortcut to use it as a shortcut. So my Kapandria, what does that mean? I'm a Rava Kapandria Kishma, just like what its name means. My Kishmas, what does that mean? It says, Kamanda Amar Adafikna Adari Eo Baha, that it says it's a combination of the words, that instead of going around the houses, let me just cut through them. So that's what he's saying, that you want to cut through the shul in order to make it a shortcut. But even when we say that you can't use a shul as a shortcut, but if there originally was if the area where the shul is originally was a shortcut, and then they built a shul, then you would be able to continue using it as a shortcut. Which I think, like theoretically, if there was some shortcut that we had here, and then afterwards now they built a shul here, I would guess, asking your local Orthodox rabbi, that you'd be able to cut through to be able to continue use it as a shortcut because that you had it there beforehand. Let's say someone comes into the shul and he didn't go into the shul to make it a shortcut. He went into the shul for whatever, he had a legitimate reason to go into the shul. So then, when he's leaving, he can go the shorter way out of the shul. You don't have to say, well, it's a short, I don't want to make it a shortcut. Like, let's say you came in over here, let's say this was a shul, and you come in through this door over here and you're sitting and learning. And then, so we don't say that you have to go out through that way over there to be able to cut through. You can go back the short way. You don't have, it's not a problem. Or let's say there's a door on this side, okay? So you came in here, you sat down, you learned for a while, this is a shul, and then there's a doorway right here. So you can't see, it's not a problem to say, I'm going to go through this way right now, because you came into the shul for a legitimate reason, so then you can use it as a shortcut once you're there. If someone comes into the shul to daven, same thing, you're able to make it as a shortcut. That when they came in, from the north side of the gate, and they left through the south side of the gate. So they didn't have to go back out the way they came. They're able to cut through and use it as a shortcut because they had a legitimate reason why they were coming into the gate. So therefore, it's not a problem to keep to use it as a shortcut. The next part of the Mishnah said, that if, let's say, grass grows in the shul, then you're not able to cut the grass and you should leave it there because it's going to cause a lot of pain for the people to see that what was once a beautiful shul now has grass growing in it. So Gemara says, you're not able to cut the grass and feed it to your animals, where you're able to cut it and just set it aside. So Gemara says, you're right. So you see that you are able to cut the grass. Where it says, when our Mishnah was talking about Tolu Shemachal Tanar, we're talking about that you're not able to cut it and eat it, but you are able to cut the grass and set it aside then, and that's not a problem. Tan Rabbanan, Beis HaKvaros, Ein Nogim Bahem Kalos Rosh, that if you have a cemetery, you're not able to act with Kalos Rosh, you're not able to act very frivolously. Ein Marin Bahem Bahem, you're not able to put your animals in there so that they could be grazing. You're not able to put a canal. You're not able to create a stream to cut through the cemetery. You're not able to cut the grass. If let's say you do cut it, then you should burn the grass out covered for the maize. Because again, the whole purpose is we want to show a sense of of respect and seriousness when we're in the cemetery. We don't want it to be that we're just going to say, okay, like the mason are lying over there. There's a concept of loy l'rush, that if a person has his tzitzis out, you're supposed to tuck them in because the mason are not able to do mitzvahs anymore, and you are. So there's this concept of understanding that in the cemetery that the mason are still there, so you shouldn't be just using it as a place to hang out, a place to feed your animals, a place to cut the grass. So and if you do it, you should burn the grass. And where it says, what is it talking about where it says that you should burn it? You're talking about that. It's talking about the seifa. Keep it shasar from the mekomon. My covenant mason mikom. What's the big, like, what kind of covenant are you giving to the mason? You pick the grass, and then you go and you burn it right there. If you told me that you picked the grass, then you took it to the center of town and you burnt it there, people would see, oh, he picked the grass. You're not able to use the grass for mundane purposes in a cemetery, so he's burning it. And therefore, that's showing cover for the mace. But what are you doing when you're doing it this way? It's what it says, El Aresha, when it's talking about the beginning, it says, where it says that you're not able to act, in a frivolous manner. That's what it's talking about, covenant mason. It's saying that the reason why you do it is for respect for the dead. Okay.
Question.
Yes.
Just, I'm not understanding the English. It says, if you pick the grass in them, meaning the grass between the graves, is that, what is the...
In the cemetery. In the cemetery.
So burn them on the spot.
What burn the grass. If let's say someone does burn the grass, someone does pick the grass. Again, I don't know why he picked the grass. Maybe there was nice grass he wanted to pick, or maybe it was like daisies or something. So he's picking it to, you know, so he picks it up. So he says that grass that's growing, not in between the graves, just the grass in the cemetery, that you can't use it just to take it out because you want it for whatever reason. You're not able to do it. You have to burn it. You have to burn it, yeah. Okay, we will stop here at the Mishnah, and we will pick up again on Monday night, Emir Tzashem.